Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Today's episode of The Beat is brought to you by the Waterworks and Header HVAC. Now together to serve you better and proud sponsors of Ohio State Athletics. Tradition or innovation? It is time for Zach Boren to answer that question as Ohio State brings in some new jerseys, restores the football field and everything else that's going on in this offseason. Welcome to a Boren Blitz on The Beat presented by the Waterworks. He is Zach Boren. I am Austin Ward. 5 different uniform combinations, Zach. At least they all have the heritage stripes on them, which I know you wanted.
I do like the heritage stripes. Not that I was living and dying by the heritage stripe, but I do like it. 5 alternative jerseys. I wasn't expecting that. Maybe 1 too many okay. For my liking, but 5's okay. Here's my question. If all 5 were released, does that mean they are wearing all 5 uniforms at some point this year? In moving forward, they wear all 5 of them at one point or at some point?
You would think so. Like, why else would you tell people that you have them? So you have, you know, the traditional home, traditional away, the Sub-Zero, which I think they have trademarked so that you don't call them something else for the all whites. The Scarlet Rush, and then we already had seen last Monday, Zach, the all-black uniforms. I don't know why you would make a big deal out of rolling them out if you didn't intend on wearing them all.
Yeah, that's just 5 uniforms in 12 games is a lot, in my opinion. Now, here's what I will say. Love the blacks. I have been a huge fan of the all-blacks for a long time. I think Ohio State... the modernization of Ohio State has brought the color black in, which I think everyone agrees. The all whites away, love. I think super cool. It adds another modernization, and it still kind of looks like Ohio State in a way. Just the stripes stand out, all of those things. Austin, I'm not a huge fan of the all scarlets. I'm right. Not. Don't know why. To me, obviously, black is completely different, right? Like, that is obviously, we all know, just completely different look. But what I will say is, at least with the all white, it's still what makes Ohio State is still there, right? The stripes stick out, all of those things. I think the all reds just kind of blend things together a little too much for me from that standpoint. I don't know. Maybe it's just the red pants. Maybe I can't get past that from that standpoint. But I will say I think it's cool that they rolled some alternative jerseys out. I think this has been long overdue for Ohio State. I know the traditionalists out there are probably going absolutely crazy. But you want to know something? Everyone nowadays, look, maybe not Penn State, okay, but you look at all these other huge traditional programs, Michigan, Notre Dame, like all of them have changed their uniforms over the last number of years and done an alternative. Like Michigan's all blues that they wear, definitely out there, right? I know they've went all mazes that they've thrown out there. Ooh. Like, you know, Notre Dame's went with some different things, and Notre Dame might be the most quote unquote traditionalist college football program out there. So for all of these universities, you know, programs starting to change and bring a little modernization in there, I think it's a great thing for their brand. I think it's a great thing for obviously for players to be able to sell jerseys. And, you know, you look at the memorabilia side, like I think that's a huge thing for these athletic departments to monetize off of. And yeah, man, I think it's fun for the players too. When you know, you're an 18, 17, 18-year-old to, you know, 22, 23-year-old, I think, you know, a lot of times when you wear a uniform that's a little bit different, that looks cool, What's the saying, Austin? Look good, play good, right? If you feel good, you're going to play good.
That's what we try and do every time we step on the golf course, Zach. So
no doubt, you are spot on.
If you don't have that right fit, you're not going to go low out there. And I think that's what's interesting to me about, as you said, five different jersey combinations for 12 games. You know, maybe there's an appeal to that, an excitement for the players. I don't know. I haven't really had a chance to ask them. I know that there weren't a ton of different options for you all. Now, thinking back to 2012, you know, you might get one alternate uniform and that's it. And then the rest is, you know, you've got the scarlet and you've got the white, and that's pretty much it. I wonder if it becomes like just too much. You know, I don't know. You don't feel like you're Ohio State.
Yeah, you don't feel like you're Ohio State. Here's what I will say. This is God's honest true story. Okay. So Urban came in obviously 2012. We had a meeting with Urban, Gene Smith, and a Nike representative. And those three, and the three that were represented from us were Etienne Sabino, myself, and John Simon, like the three captains from that standpoint, right? And we had a conversation in there, and they're like, hey, Nike wants to do some different things. What are some ideas you guys have? Austin, we had two ideas, the all blacks and the all whites. All blacks for home and all whites away. They took it and they were like, you want to know something? I think we can do something with that. So here's the good news and the bad news. Good news is, yeah, we think we can roll this out at some point. Bad news is it for sure will not be this year. So you guys will never wear them, right? So we had the idea. That's what I'm saying.
I've known
2012.
I've known you for 15 years, and this is the first I've heard of you creating the all black uniforms.
Dude, I swear. I promise. That came from the 2012 team. Now, when's the first time they ever wore them, Austin? 2017?
18? I think
maybe later than that.
When did they?
I don't know. Okay, I threw that one out there. But well, I do know they wore the all whites in 2013 against Michigan. So that was our idea. You know, that was our idea too. When Tyvis Powell got the interception, that was the all white. So, all five. All right.
I got it. It was 2015. Zach was the debut of the all blacks.
2015. There you go. And the all whites were 2013. So there you go, Austin. That's what they came out. But this is what I will say. So you said these uniforms, like, I think the all whites on the road are a good alternative. I mean, the gray pants, the white pants, like, it doesn't really change that much. Like, I think going to Austin in a night game, like, wear the all whites. I think that's freaking sweet. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like go off and do it. And then when you're Ohio State, maybe, you know, night games, you wear the all black. Like, that's kind of tradition, is you wear the all blacks for a night game. But then other than that, you keep it traditional, right, from that standpoint. And so, I just don't know where they're going to fit in the all reds. I assume, Austin, no, I don't know anything, but I assume the all reds will come into play against Oregon. You saw it, 2 years ago when Ohio State went to Oregon and, you know, wore the all whites again and brought them out for the first time in a while. I could see Ohio State, Oregon, Ohio State being in the all reds, you know, Oregon coming in and obviously all whites and probably doing something like that. It's probably the only reason why I think the all reds are coming out. Now, I don't know this, Austin. Literally pure speculation, but that's where my head went when I saw the all reds.
Well, I mean, we've got to get Kevin Reese on the record about this. And you mentioned how long it takes to make these jerseys. That you wanted an all black in 2012. Nike needs at least 18 months, I believe, to get any of that stuff done, which is part of the reason why, you know, the Land of the Wolves uniforms were seasons removed from when that was actually Mickey Marotti's mantra for the team. So it does take time. You know, I think you're probably right. If you're Kevin Reese and Ryan Day and Ross Bjork trying to look at when you want to wear these combinations, I would assume want a pure primetime night game to wear the all blacks. That's sort of the whole purpose behind it. And a blackout, like, between Illinois and Oregon, which are the two like high profile games that are not the game, feels highly likely that Oregon is going to be a 3:30 kickoff and Illinois has a chance to be a night game. So I think that probably lines up with what you're talking about. Then you would put, you know, the all black uniforms against Illinois and maybe the Scarlet Rush for Oregon. That seems to me like when you would do it this year.
Would Ohio State ever roll out the all scarlet or the all blacks against Michigan? Or would people be so up in arms that it's not the traditional, you know, Michigan, Ohio State? But then again, those people who want to have, I'm not on one side. I'm just throwing out a question. What I will say though is Michigan at home has went to the all blue uniforms, which is not what they used to wear back in the day, Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, Curtis Samuel has a pretty famous photo of flying into the end zone in double overtime, and he's wearing that cannonball jersey or cannonball helmet. So they have tweaked it a little bit for the game, which, you know, I don't love. I think I'd rather see the traditional uniforms for the rivalry, but that's, I guess I'm getting old, Zach. That's just how I feel.
No, listen, you're allowed to have the opinion. I'm just asking, do they ever dare roll that out for the game? I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't know. I'm glad that we can start thinking about it. It makes me worried about how cold it might be in late November, but I'll keep my home ready for any weather with the Waterworks and Header Energy Savings Plan. Get priority heating service, members only savings, and continuous comfort all year long. Call today to schedule. It's the Waterworks and Header, 614-232-2222. So if you're in charge of everything, Zach, the field, the horseshoe, the jerseys, what's something that you would change about Ohio State right now?
Oh man. So I've got two things that I think again the traditionalist will want to ban me from Ohio State from all time.
Okay.
This is what I will say. If I could change two things. If I could change anything with the stadium, like number one, I would take away the horseshoe.
What I would do
is you see all these stadiums getting revamped. You have heard about Ohio Stadium and the quote unquote noise factor for so long. You've heard, everyone wanting to talk about how the game day experience and atmosphere can be lacking. And a lot of people want to say it's the noon games, but then, you know, you get in some other games that are supposed to be high profile games and everyone's like, well, it's not as loud as it used to be, right? Austin, I think it's time. Now, it can still be called the horseshoe because you look at the outside, right? Like a lot of that is still the horseshoe.
Yeah.
But if I were in charge of the stadium, I would fill in the openings on each side of the student section, right? And above both tunnels, I would build stands going all the way up. I would line that side. Obviously, you've got a big scoreboard. I would put that. But then in both corners, I would put new suite boxes and club block boxes to essentially close in the stadium, which all that's going to do is make it so much louder, right? Like you look at a place like Penn State and why it's so loud, and it's because everything is basically cooked into the stadium, right? It's up on top. All the noise stays down below. It's the same thing with Washington. Washington's not very big, and it's actually open on both ends. But just the way that the stadium sits on top, and I think the only way to get that noise to stay inside the stadium at the horseshoe, because that side of the stadium, like you've seen it on a slant, it's kind of going out, right? I'm kind of doing everything with my hands. You got to close it in to keep the noise in, because that's where all the noise is going. And everyone talks about it. The players know it from that standpoint, right? Obviously, Tennessee 2 years ago, game was extremely loud, things like that. But you're not going to get that same atmosphere for every single home game. So how do you make it a home field advantage? Austin, I think you have to close in the end zones to keep the noise in. You're going to add – Austin, you're going to add another, you could probably add another 10,000 seats, potentially, maybe more, depending on how you build it out, right? Now, You obviously can't go down the field level because the tunnels have to be right there, but you can build over top of the tunnels and then go up and be able to put suites on both ends. So I don't know what that number of seating. I'm not a engineer from that standpoint, but I'm thinking, you know, 10,000 seats is probably legit from that standpoint. Now it goes from what, Austin, when we're sold out, 105,000, 106,000. Now you're the biggest stadium in college football at 116, and don't tell me Ohio State couldn't sell out home games with 116,000.
I'm pretty confident that they could. Yeah. The other reason, though, Zach, that you mentioned why Penn State is so loud is because they cheat by turning up the speakers. Okay. And you know, it's unnatural noise.
No, correct. Here's one that people are not going to like, but I'm going to give the example. And you know this, Austin, we give credit where credit is due.
We do.
Michigan Stadium has gotten way louder once they built the press box on the other side. It used to be just a big old bowl, right? Yeah. And when they built the club level, the suite level on the other side of the press box that's been there forever, right? And it expands basically the entire length of the field. It traps the noise in on both sides, and it makes it so much louder than what it used to be. I think it's going to have that same effect at Ohio Stadium, right? And just the way that it is. And I don't know, Austin, that you asked for my opinion, man. You see what all these people are doing. Penn State, what's Penn State doing? They're redoing the entire stadium. Not an entire stadium. They're doing a huge thing with their stadium, right? You look at the SEC. All kinds of SEC schools are doing different things. I mean, look, Vanderbilt, Missouri, basically building brand new stadiums, right? Yeah. Look at Northwestern. This is a super hot take. Northwestern's building like a 35,000 seat stadium. That stadium's going to be loud because the way that it's built, I'm telling you, it is going to be noisy. And people are going to be mind blown that they're in there and there's 35,000 fans and it's as loud as it is.
Yeah, I'll have my mind blown if they get 35,000 people that aren't Ohio State fans the next time that I'm there.
Fair enough.
And when you say credit where credit's due, the place that I covered before arriving in Columbus, you know, Neyland Stadium, for all the jokes that we've made about their attempted takeover 2 years ago in Neyland North and all those other things, the reason that that venue is so loud is exactly what you're talking about. It is built straight up. It traps every bit of noise that you have in there. And I don't want this to come across like it's, because I agree with what you said. When it is a big time game, when it is the game, when Oregon comes in, when it was Texas for the opener last year, even if it's at noon, that place still gets rocking. Like the Horseshoe is a difficult place for anyone to go play. Could it be louder? Yeah, I think it could. If they, you know, enclose some of that in, I don't know how expensive that will be. I don't know what the trade-off is, because you also have the construction going on in the south end zone that you've removed some of those seats. You're going to have the premium hospitality on field level down there. You know, I don't know if that's going to, how that will impact the sound or the atmosphere or the environment, because you're, you know, effectively taking away maybe some of the most passionate fans and the band and replacing that with, you know, people that might be entertaining business. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to play out. We haven't seen it actually in place in the Horseshoe yet, but, you know, putting up some acoustics to help assist with the Horseshoe, I think would probably go a long way for what people want.
Well, that's what it is. Even if they, I would even be open to, if they wanted to build, now it would be high up there, and I don't know how they would do it, but build a press box on the west side of the stadium, across from where the current press box is, build something over there. Because from an acoustic standpoint, Austin, like the Horseshoe's big. When you're on the field, the Horseshoe is a big, big stadium. But the way that it is designed doesn't trap the noise in. So you have to find ways to be able to trap sound in. And what I'm thinking is you just obviously make it all the way around. Now, what I do know is the Horseshoe is, quote unquote, a historic monument, whatever they want to call it. And so it's got to stay a Horseshoe. So my dream is to do that, but it can still be a Horseshoe if somehow you elevate those areas that I'm talking about and there's still some kind of opening. But the other option that you have, to your point, if you want to trap noise in and make it more vertical, I've been to Neyland Stadium. crazy from that standpoint, right? You got to build something on the west side of the stadium to help keep that noise in. Because right now, that noise just goes out. And to your point, yes, Texas last year, loud. Michigan game, always loud, right? Indiana 2 years ago, loud, right? Tennessee, loud. But here's what I'm saying, Austin, for how crazy Ohio State fans it are and for how loud it is, that stadium can be louder. Yeah. Like that stadium can be really loud to the point I've been in some stadiums before where as an offense, you can't talk to one another. Like literally can't speak face mask to face mask. And I don't think Ohio State's ever truly been that. And that's not me being mean to Ohio State. It's just I don't think it's able to be that based off of the way the sound, the acoustics, I should say, of the stadium with fans screaming.
I do think that that is probably going to be one of the most pressing and difficult jobs that Ross Bjork faces. You know, we talk about tradition and innovation. You know, at some point, there's going to have to be changes made to the horseshoe and to Ohio Stadium to upgrade and enhance. And how do you raise the money? What do you decide to do? You know, they're obviously not going to put a dome over the horseshoe. Yeah. Like, we're not asking about that. But, like, you're looking at the things that he's done and bringing in new turf and different sponsorship opportunities and these beautiful jerseys we didn't even mention. By the way, there's probably going to be a sponsorship patch on them. So, like, you know, everything looks great with the tradition. And then you're going to, at the same time, evolve and innovate and do some things that people probably won't like. You have the heritage stripe over here and now a patch on the chest. And, like, you give and you take. But I don't know how Ross Bjork is going to thread that needle with the horseshoe itself. But I think everybody is in pretty much lockstep agreement that there's going to have to be enhancements to it. And, you know, you have an idea. I think there's going to be 105,000 other people who have an idea of what they would want out of it. I don't know what that's going to look like or even what the timeline would be, but that moment is coming pretty quickly.
Oh, 100% it is. And you got to figure out what you're going to do. I love the horseshoe. I think it's one of the best stadiums in college football, but you always have to be evolving in today's day and age, right? Like, you know, the concession stand setup, the bathroom setup, like the sound of the stadium. You know, you saw what they did with the parking recently on the west side. Like, there, you're always going to have to be evolving from that standpoint. Does that mean, you know, there's more seat backs that are in sections, right? I know on the home side, there's that entire area where there's, you know, seat backs. Are they going to put some on the away side? Like, you know, could they turn the entire home press box area into club level seats and suites and then build a, you know, press box on the west side of the stadium that's strictly used for TV and coaches and things like that, knowing that it's going to be pretty high up there? But here's the other thing, Austin, is like when you start thinking about stuff, Ohio State's locker room from that standpoint and like where they want to be is completely opposite. Well, I guess the press box on the west side. I meant the east side this entire time, right? Sorry, that's gonna have to edit where, that. I think. But
where you want to build it,
where you want to build it, not the west side. Yeah. The press box is on the west side, but where the Ohio what the Ohio State locker room is, what people don't realize is, Austin, it's a hike for the coaches to get to the press box, right? When they got to break like 10 minutes before the team is like huddled up and get going because they got to get escorted to the entire other side of the stadium. If the new press box is built on that east side and that's where the coaches go, now Ohio State coaches are right there, right? And they're able to spend more time with their players. They're able to get to the locker room earlier at halftime. Like right now, it's almost a disadvantage from where the locker room is situated to where the coaches are going.
That's a great point. It's much easier for the visiting teams because they, you know, they have a short walk from that locker room and the concourse over to the elevators to get back upstairs. That's absolutely not the case for the Ohio State coaching staff. I hadn't really thought about that, but it's a great idea. So that's why you're in charge on a Boren Blitz. And I think you're the czar of college football. You're the commissioner of college football. You're going to run the Ohio State program.
Thank you. I've got one more thing for you real quick.
Hit me with it.
Last one. People are going to hate me for this. Some people might love me. The Ohio State Michigan game should always be at 3:30.
Always 3:30.
Okay. Always 3:30. Always.
You want it under finishing under the lights, huh?
Yes. Always at 3:30.
See, people are more likely to embrace that one than my idea, which is that it needs to just now be week one, like start the season with it. But
I know you don't like that one. I can't get behind that. No. I can't get behind that. No.
Well,
that, no.
See, there you go. I'll let them come after me, and I'll save you the bullets.
Now, Austin, here's the thing. I wouldn't be opposed. Hear me out. I wouldn't be opposed if the schedule starts changing and Thanksgiving Day weekend turns into kind of like the bye week before the playoffs start.
Yeah.
I would not be opposed to Ohio State, Michigan being like in the new rivalry week, being the first Saturday in November. Because the first Saturday in November right now is always a stud schedule. Like, you look at Ohio State this year, it's Oregon, Ohio State, right? It's Miami, Notre Dame. It's what's always first Saturday in November? Is it Alabama, LSU? Is that right? And first Saturday in November. Like,
usually, like, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's always huge games. It used to always be Ohio State, Penn State, till let's not get
unrivaled.
Started on that, right? Let's not get started on that. But I would not be opposed for that game to be the first Saturday in November and it start kind of November from that standpoint. I would totally be okay with that. And Austin, if we're doing that, I still think it should be 3:30. I wouldn't even be opposed at that point of the year. If you have a night game, imagine night game in Michigan.
Oh my gosh. That sounds dangerous. I don't know if we can do that. I'm going to have to come up with some other problems for Zach Boren to solve on a Boren Blitz. He will be off next week. We all will be for Memorial Day. So no Boren Blitz. A little 2-week wait until the next episode.
Maybe we'll get some updates on recruiting by then, Austin.
we'll check with one Jeremy Birmingham on that. We'll see if I can finagle some of those out of him before these key visit weekends that are coming up in camp season in June. So I will work on that for you. Some recruiting updates from Berm on the Austin and Berm Show on the Beat, presented by the Waterworks, when he gets back in here on Wednesday. This, though, has been a Boren Blitz with the former Ohio State captain and the commissioner of college football. Thanks to Zach. As always, I'm Austin Ward. We'll talk to you later.